This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Dan Wetzel joins us now. Yahoo Sports, always kind with his time. Talking NBA Finals with us here. Dan, how you doing, man? Thanks for taking time to be with us again.
Doing great, guys. How are you?
Awesome.
Fantastic. Back to Cleveland we go. 2-0. Is Steph Curry the best three-point shooter you've ever seen, period?
Man. Ray Allen is pretty good. He probably – I think when Steph has a flair for it that's probably more exciting. Like that one he hit at the buzzer where he just sort of shot putted it up after losing the handle. Some of the shots are just so memorable.
Let me change my question then. Let me ask you this. Would he have been just as entertaining if he was a Harlem Globetrotter?
I guess that's the best one. That's really good. He's kind of the Harlem – like Ray Allen, Kyle Korver, those guys are probably better three-point shooters. Just pure shot, right? But, he throws these – and they're just crushing. They're soul-crushing. And, he reinvented – he really moved the line back. He was the one that shoots so much deeper and made it a thing, almost to the detriment of basketball, particularly college basketball. The NCAA basketball tournament last year, there were 75 guys who thought they were Steph Curry. And I saw nobody who was Steph Curry.
Yeah, none of them were there.
He wasn't even Steph Curry when he was Steph Curry in the NCAA basketball tournament. And he was unbelievable in the NCAA basketball tournament. So it's gotten this bit where it's like, oh, yeah, 30 feet, bang. Like that, even 6-8 years ago, that just wasn't – guys just didn't pull up from 30. And so he changed that, and when he gets going, it's just demoralizing. Not only is 3 points going in, not only do you sit there and say, how are we going to guard him, but I think there's just a sense with whatever the opponent is that once he starts hitting them, you know he's going to hit the next three. And so, 9-3, and this is why Golden State, this is why Cleveland had to win game one when they had a chance. Golden State just has three guys that can destroy you on any given night. And if one of them goes off, or certainly if two of them, you're finished. There's no team in basketball is going to beat these guys. So you have to take your spots. And when you have that spot, like Cleveland had in game one, you have to seize it, or this thing is, how do you win 4 out of 5 against Golden State when three of them are going to be an Oracle? I mean, it's just too daunting right now for Cleveland, and I don't know if this thing goes past 5 games at this point.
Dan Wetzel is with us, Yahoo Sports columnist, New York Times bestselling author, at Dan Wetzel on Twitter, if you would like to follow him there. They have an innate ability, like maybe we've never seen, to take an offensive possession that is going absolutely nowhere with no good looks, and at the end of the shot clock, fire up a three and drain it. I mean, sometimes, as good a coach as Steve Kerr is and as great a collection of players they have, sometimes they can look completely lost on offense and still get three out of it.
Yeah, I think it's because the offense is almost – is, and it is organized, but it looks disorganized because that's how you have to play with this many guys. You can't just have all these sort of set plays. We're going to throw it down the block. But when you have three guys – who can, Curry can create the space, and then Thompson and Durant are so tall that even if you're on them, they can shoot from deep. And then all of a sudden, like something like, there's Draymond wide open or whatever they're going to, they started the game with like 5 straight dunks because no one could guard the paint. So, it just has so many options. When they are on their game, they are absolutely not going to lose. And that's why last night's game, even though Cleveland was keeping it close, they were in, 8-point distance. You're just sitting there going, man, it's almost like they're just waiting for that knockout punch. And then boom, Curry goes crazy in the third, and it's a blowout. So they just have so much ability, so much confidence. They don't get rattled. I mean, it's a team that's, they've done it all. They've set the winning record. They've won a couple championships. They've come back from 3-1 against Oklahoma City, 3-2 against Houston. They've anything that has to happen at this point, they've done. So they don't panic. It's just such a tall order for anyone to beat them. And it, again, on a seven-game series, when you've got your chance, you've got to hit it. And that's why I just felt like on Thursday night when Cleveland didn't get that game won, I'm like, I don't know if this series isn't over right now, because you're just not going to have a lot of options. Now, Cleveland at home, they haven't lost since round one. You know, role players play better at home in the NBA. Maybe J.R. Smith can get his game back. He was terrible last night, getting mocked. I mean, some great chants. How about the Oracle crowd chanting MVP?
I mean, that was amazing.
They were on him, man.
They were.
That was amazing.
That was one of the better taunts I've ever heard of a thing. I mean, you just sit there. I mean, imagine taking that. Oh, God. You know, we'll see, but you just kind of got to watch Golden State and just appreciate you're seeing not only a great team, there's always great teams, but a type of team you just have never seen and may never see quite again. It really revolutionized the game. It's not just like, okay, you know, like some of those Laker teams were great with Kobe and Shaq and stuff, but we've seen that, right? Big man and good guard, and this is how you, you know, you build a team. This is like, we've never seen this type of stuff. And so I kind of think that's why the ratings are so high, even though I think we all know what's going to happen. It's like, it's even a blowout like last night was highly entertaining because you're like, I can't believe Steph Curry's doing this, even though I can because he did it last week too. Like, it's entertaining even if the game's not close.
Explain to me then, if it's so entertaining, and I know you're not a sports psychologist, but how can I love Golden State when they win it the first time, and now I'm to the point that I don't like them, and LeBron James, I feel sorry for him, and he's got so much and has been given so much in his career, but I watch him, and I actually feel sorry for him, and I'm starting to dislike this Golden State team more and more every year. How come?
We're fickle people. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Steph went from look at cute Steph. He's the underdog, and now it's like, hey, Jimmy's a little too much. You know, I've had enough of Curry. Yeah. And LeBron, who's a lot of people didn't like LeBron, and now it's like, God, you know, what do you want? I think I saw a stat like right first two games, LeBron's averaging like 41.5, like 11.5 assists, and they're down 0-2. You know, it's
yes. It's like Steph's feeding me the best steak in the world, and now all of a sudden I want chicken.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, I'm kind of tired of this steak. Yeah, I think there's definitely some of that. That's just fatigue, you know, and eventually it comes around. People got tired of the Patriots, and then sort of like, hey, you know, maybe we will appreciate Tom Brady. Or I always think that, you know, what are we here to watch? And appreciating what you're watching. I mean, first off, you got to have something to root for. So there's nothing wrong with saying I don't want LeBron to win, or I don't want Golden State to win again. It's the fun part. If you're a neutral fan, who cares? You got to find something to root for. So, but I do think there's something to appreciate when, you know, these guys are playing on the stage, and just how good offensively, how talented these players are. It's pretty absurd. And if you kind of just step back from the Steph Curry story and say, you know, he's not really that small anymore. He's kind of finally bulked up, but, you know, still relatively slight 6'3" guy from a small college, albeit the son of one of the great shooters of all time in NBA history. Not really sure he overcame, so this is not like the rags to riches story here, but, you know, that someone like that is doing this is still pretty cool.
Where college football never ends.
The kick is good! Auburn wins! 22-19! The Auburn Tigers are on top of the college football world.
The Jocks Roundtable with LT, Dunaway, and Brown.